Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Tonight, it's baseball night in San Diego. And for such a big event, we've brought in the most excellent and humble of hosts, Mike Grace.
He's the most interesting guy you'd ever want to be around. Funny, but he does have an intense mindset.
Our other co-host is causing Blooper to root for the Padres even more than usual tonight. It's Randy Jones.
Look, every time we lose a game, I'll slap Blooper, okay? How's that? Is everybody happier?
You're going to hit Blooper?
I'll smack Blooper big time.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Baseball Night in San Diego, and you might be just in time to see Randy Jones slap Blooper. That was a rough loss.
Man, right now.
Gonna just walk over there and give him a good whack on the head.
I'm tempted.
Not feeling it, Blooper?
I ain't about that life.
Beat me to it. Oh, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, and so much to talk about today. Last night's game. Many things went well. Many things didn't go well. Interesting lineup today. That's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. And we are scheduled to talk to one of last night's heroes, Clint Barmas. So he's going to be stopping by the AMR studios here relatively soon. And we will talk to him about the only guy on the team that can hit Clayton Kershaw. So last night, for me, a little bit of a microcosm of this season, kind of in one game.
Ooh,
so things aren't going well. Kershaw, what are you going to do? Kershaw's really good at baseball. Then you get into the bullpen, you get the lead. You feel like you got a little momentum, and then it doesn't quite hang on. The bullpen lets the lead slip away, and you just don't quite build on the momentum you think you had. And the whole season's kind of gone like that. What last night's game did.
Exactly. And what's funny is all of a sudden, you know, the seventh inning, you got the lead. You know, and it seemed like 5 minutes later, we didn't have the lead.
It was quick.
And that's what I didn't like. You know, the bullpen. You know, I mean, when's the last time you saw Dale Thayer come in and give up three straight hits?
No, haven't seen that.
You know, and just I'm almost speechless. I went, wow, what was that all about?
And it was such a positive momentum at one point because you're like, okay, Kershaw's Kershaw. He's probably the best pitcher in baseball.
Yep.
You get a run off of him. You keep it close. They don't have a great bullpen. You get into the bullpen, and then you get what you were hoping for. Okay,
right.
If you can steal that game that Kershaw started, man. That is such a – especially with Greinke going today. It would have been so
what
big.
What a momentum changer.
Right?
I mean, it really would have been. You know, that would have hurt a little bit, you know, to have to let them come back and sneak that one, you know, from us. So we had it right there in our grasp. And, you know, you just can't do that right now.
Squeeze the neck,
you know,
right?
You're fluttering around 500. You know, where's that game that will turn you around? This is a big weekend. These are kind of two big games. We're not playing well against, you know, the Dodgers this year. What are we, 3-7 now?
So, yeah.
And you got to turn that around this weekend. We just got to battle through this somehow, find a way to scratch out some runs, get to that Dodger bullpen tonight, and tomorrow. I mean, let's not discount, you know, the starting pitchers tomorrow as well.
Yeah, who pitched well against the Padres
in
his first start of the year. Let's talk a little bit about Kershaw last night. And, hey, this guy's fantastic. He hasn't had the best year. He's been really, really good lately. He had a streak last night of 17 scoreless innings broken by Clint Barmas. But over his last four starts, his ERA is under one. So it's something Buddy said, and you said to me before the show, that's the best he's ever seen his curveball.
Well,
last night.
That is, you know, the Kershaw curveball.
I mean, wow.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, 11 strikeouts, and, you know, I saw the pitch count getting up there a little bit, and that was maybe to our advantage, to tell you the truth. And, you know, he doesn't make too many mistakes. Now he's warming up. Like you say, his last four starts, you know, last two especially have been phenomenal. But that's the Clayton Kershaw that we prototypically see.
Yeah,
really is.
He was really good. And, I mean, to hear Buddy say that, I mean, we've seen Kershaw for several years now. To say that's the best he's ever seen his curveball, I mean, that's really saying something.
That is saying something.
It is. So, well, hey, we're going to talk a lot more about this game throughout the show, talk about today's game. We're going to go and take a break. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Clint Barmas. Had a real nice game last night and talk to him about some of the success he's had and this success that he's having with this team. Join the Padres tomorrow for U.S. Army and Army National Guard Appreciation Day presented by USAA. All military and their families receive 50% off tickets to Sunday's 110 game against the LA Dodgers at Padres.com/military. More from Padres Social Hour right after this. Clint Barmas here in the AMR Studios.
We're back to the AMR Studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. We're live from the AMR Studios and welcoming a very special guest to the Cholula hot seat. Guy swinging a pretty hot bat lately, Padres shortstop Clint Barmas. Clint, one of the few guys on this team with some historical success against Clayton Kershaw. Did it last night, got a couple hits, got the home run. Do you see the ball well? Do you feel like you see the ball well against Kershaw? Or is it, you know, what is it about you having some success against this guy?
It's tough to explain that way. I see it well enough to have a little bit of success against him, but he's obviously very tough, and when he's locating, when he's on, he's not very fun to face.
I think he hasn't quite figured you out. That's what the problem is, I think, Clint. You know what I mean? He hasn't figured him out, Gracie. That's what it's all about. You know, like last night, there's a slider up a little bit. You know, kind of speed your bat up. You know, and you're probably looking hard away, right?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, and he makes a mistake, and that's what good hitters do. That's what big league hitters do.
You know, just trying not to do too much for sure, and stay in a big part of the field. And when he's got those kind of pitches, especially his curveball and his slider.
That's what Buddy was saying last night. It's the best he's ever seen his curveball, and that's saying a lot for a guy like that.
And that's a lot of times. That's why you see Kershaw. You know, everybody. You know, a lot of contact early in the count with Clayton Kershaw. Well, you bet. I mean, what are you going to do? Wait till you get to the curveball?
Exactly.
You don't want to do that.
No, and that's what makes it tough, because you go up there and you want to be aggressive early, but he gets ahead of you, and then it's trying to be, good luck trying to hit that hit that other stuff.
Good luck, but you did a very nice job with it last night. When you signed here, you were kind of the first of several moves to follow. I guess, one, did you have any idea of what was coming with this team, when you spoke with AJ or your agent? And then what was it like to watch as you added Kemp and Upton and Myers and Norris as you were the first part of all these offseason moves?
I can't say I expected everything that happened over the offseason. But early on, talking with my agent and him communicating more to AJ than me so much up until I decided that this is where I wanted to be. That he talked to, it's going to be a different team, and they're going to make a lot of moves, and it should be an exciting year. And the opportunities that they offered me obviously were very exciting for me on a personal note. And that's what basically ultimately made my decision was, the way that they were talking, that they were going to use me coming in. And obviously, as the offseason went, then the trades and the moves that they made, it got very, very exciting.
Well, I was excited about that, because I had, you're the veteran guy, and having a veteran infielder out there that's been through the season and everything else, it's invaluable to some of these younger guys that haven't got as much experience. And I know that you share a lot of that experience in talking to these guys, and that really makes a difference, throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, and it's been fun. I mean, the younger guys coming in, and they've been great, coming up and the questions and talking baseball, and whether it's on the bench in the clubhouse, not just me, but all the guys. It's been a lot of fun, and I think it's all starting to come together. Guys are getting to know each other at a personal level, and it does take some time, but we're in a good spot right now. And
Hey, do the pitchers talk to you?
All the time. I love talking to the pitchers.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I love them. I love pitchers, yeah.
That's awesome.
You just imagine some segregation in the clubhouse that position players just don't speak
with. I'm just picking on Clint. That's all I'm doing. It's great. And it's good stuff when you talk about that. And it's healthy. You need to do that. Talk to your infielders, tendencies, and everything
else. Yeah, and for me, at short, any middle infielder, I mean, you're trying to play along with what they're trying to do and their game plans. And, a big part of the game is trying to position yourself and play the odds and position yourself in the right spot.
Well, you can see where the pitchers are going to be, obviously, from shortstop. And that's important. I think sometimes when you see it's going to maybe an off-speed pitch or whatever it might be, you can anticipate a little bit the tendencies of where that ball's going to go.
Yeah,
that
it's
makes
a game of
difference out there, man.
Heck yeah, it does. It could be a step or two.
Yeah.
Talking to Clint Barmas here, And we talked about the veteran presence that you're providing to this team. Who were some of the guys that mentored you when you were a young player coming up?
You know what? Mark Sweeney was a big one. Nice. And obviously he's here, and he was big for me in AAA. He spent a little time in AAA before he went up in Colorado, and I believe it was 03 or 04, one of those years. But right before I really broke in, and then when I did break in, he was still with us. So I got to work with him in the minor leagues and then also in the big leagues. But when I got there, Todd Helton was a guy that kind of took me under his wing, and getting to watch a guy like that go about his business and how he prepared, you know, every day was huge. But I played with a lot of veteran guys at that point when I came in, and picked up a lot of things from just the way that they went about their business, and basically taught me what it's like to be a professional and what a pro is. And that's, you know, showing up every day and getting your work in and being prepared.
Is it me, or am I seeing a lot of guys taking ground balls at short?
Yeah,
what's up with that?
I love it. Yeah, they're giving me a break, you know. I don't like taking them by myself.
I looked up there today, and there's like three guys taking ground balls at short. I'm going, what's up?
Every once in a while, I'll even ask, you know, somebody come join in with me. You know, give me a little breather in between pitches.
I can relate to that.
Well, I feel like you see Will Myers taking ground balls at every position every single day, you know, so you never know where you're going to find that guy out there.
That's for sure.
Yeah, as long as Cashner's not out there, we're all right.
You know, he tries.
Yeah, I know. I believe it.
You've been a part of some pretty successful teams and seen a lot in baseball. What are you seeing with this team in the way it's coming together and its potential? Where do you feel like this team could get to? And I don't want to ask you to make a prediction. You're going to make the playoffs, not going to make the playoffs. But do you feel like this team is progressing where it needs to go? And do you feel good about the team coming together going forward?
Without a doubt. I mean, you look at the talent in the clubhouse, and it's hard to say that we're not going to be contending for a playoff spot at the end of the season. And it's going to turn. We haven't exactly clicked on all cylinders yet. And, you know, when that happens, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And it's definitely coming. It's close.
Hey, you know, for us, you know, we get frustrated. The consistency is not quite there, you know.
Right.
When you talk about all the elements it takes to get in one of those roles. You know, and, you know, I know we as broadcasters get a little frustrated and love the game and want the guys to do really well. And, you know, and then all of a sudden one of the pieces will fail, and it gets frustrating. I know it has to frustrate the guys in the clubhouse.
Oh, very much. But the guys are gelling together pretty well. The chemistry is fun in the clubhouse, and guys are starting to play, and, you know, everybody's pulling in the right direction as far as our goal ultimately is to win the game and do whatever it takes and pick each other up in the process. And you know, we're right there. We've battled and kept ourselves in games. The guys in the clubhouse, they don't give up. We're in the game until the last out's made, and that's the mindset. And it's like I said, it's been fun, and it's going to get better.
You don't play every day, Clint. You know, I mean, like the road trip, it seemed like you got three or four starts in a row, which is good to see. Yeah. You know, but I would assume by, you know, that four start, you got to be a little bit stiff, a little, you know, I would think.
Yeah, I woke up a little stiff that next day.
Because that adrenaline is just a different edge that
it
you,
is.
You take to the
to And it's the, hard you know, to prepare when you're is. Not when you're not running out there every day and getting in that game shape. You know, it is a little different that way, but yeah, I would have found a way to grind through it.
You always, but I be spring training. I mean, I'd run all of January and half of February, report to camp, but I've been running 6-7 miles a day, and boy, I was in great shape. You know, and by the third day of spring training, I had to crawl to brush my teeth in the morning. I was so sore. And I never did figure that out. But it's just that adrenaline, that little competitive edge all of a sudden you pick up when everybody else gets there.
Exactly.
You know, and it really changes.
It really does. And like I said, if you're not used to getting thrown out there every day, it takes some practice and some endurance to get through it.
It's good stuff. Talking to Clint Barmas here. Really appreciate you stopping by. Congrats on last night's game, even though it wasn't a victory. The home run was a big part of the last night's game, and good luck for some continued success here this weekend against the Dodgers.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Clint was on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Thanks to Clint Barmas for stopping by the AMR studios here on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Big thanks to Clint Barmas for stopping by the AMR studios here. Such a good guy, man.
Yes, man.
He's been around the game. He knows what it takes. He's just a good guy, man.
And he's a great communicator with the other guys. You know, real personable, and you're really a good baseball man. I didn't want to put him on the spot here, but because I know he still wants to play.
Of course.
And so I'm not going to, but I can see him staying in the game. He'd be invaluable to a ball club if he stays in the game.
And that's something they talked a lot about last year. This team was lacking a bit of a veteran presence, and you've got a lot of that now, but he's the top of that list, right?
But it was great. You know, like you said, the first move we made, AJ made, was getting Clint Barmas in here. And I was excited with that because, you know, I just knew what that meant for the infield and what it could mean for the other players around him. And I thought that was invaluable.
It really was, and he's done a lot of good things for this team, and the more at-bats he's gotten, the more comfortable
he's looked
at the plate.
He's played well.
Lexi hasn't been quite as good at the plate, so he stepped in. He's played a very solid shortstop, and he's given this team what they needed so far, and that's been really, really good to see. I want to encourage everyone to send in your questions, your comments on Twitter, hashtag PadresSH, or in the live chat, Padres.com/socialhour. Talk a little more about last night, and can't discount what Odrys Mér Despaña did last night.
I did
he
a great job.
He looked really good. He looked really sharp.
That's really a quality start. You know,
into the seventh.
Don't give me six innings and three runs. You know, a 4.5 ERA. I'm sorry, Gracie. It's not going to get it done for me. But you get into go pitch into the seventh inning, two runs. That's a great start. You did a great job.
So there's always things I'm watching a game, and I think of you a lot. And the second run that he gave up in the top of the fifth, he gives up an RBI single to A.J. Ellis with a runner on second base and the pitcher on deck. And I just always wonder, do those things drive you as crazy as they do me? Because obviously it was a mistake pitch. He didn't mean to put it there, and he wasn't trying to challenge the guy. He just missed with his location. But you got to miss far away. When you've got the pitcher on deck,
you don't miss there. Let me put it that way.
Don't let that guy beat you, right?
Exactly. And I don't care if he's hitting 156. Now, AJ's not lighting it up this year, but, you know, why even give him that opportunity when you got the pitcher on deck, you know? And then you look up, and you got to pitch around that guy. If he's going to get a base hit, he's going to have to hit something off the plate. Going to have to.
It's those little things all year that have kind of
put this
team. I mean, they've scored the second most runs in the National League. And, again, we talk about if you would have had that with last year, blah, 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 things would be so fantastic. But they're not. And it's all these little things.
And they get magnified. They really get magnified, I'm afraid, when you watch a game and you get frustration or you see one of the relief pitchers miss with the location and give up a run. You know, and it really is just frustrating. And like I said earlier, when's the last time you saw Dale Thayer give up three hits and come out of a game? I haven't seen it since he's been here.
Yeah.
You know.
No.
Just, you know.
I mean, things just went awry from the start there. Let's talk a little bit about the good things that did happen last night. So, Clint Barmas gets Kershaw there in the seventh inning, gets him off, gets the Padres on the board, gets him out of the game essentially, which was big to get into that bullpen. And then you get the pop-up. Adrian Gonzalez had been thrown out of the game, so
right.
Justin Turner. And pitchers, you got to get out of the way when the pop-up,
tell
right?
me about it. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
That's the first thing you're instructed to do is get out of the way. Actually, you know what you should be there. You should be the guy that's moderating. You know, start yelling whoever's going to catch the ball. You know, pick somebody. Start yelling his name.
You be the traffic director, but get away.
You get out, but get out of the way. I mean, that's the one rule that you know that you're not supposed to be in the middle of it like that.
And you watch. He was actually trying to get out of the way. He just did very poor job of it.
Which is fine with me.
So Will Myers running hard the whole way, makes it to second base. And then Derek Norris, who's just had the moment for big hits all year, comes up with a big two-run shot to give you the lead right there, hits it into the Western Metal Building. Really, really exciting.
You know what I like about when Norris comes up, though, in those situations we've seen him? I mean, he's not one of these guys just trying to go deep in the count.
No, you know, he's looking for his pitch.
He's looking for his pitch, and he's hacking.
He really is.
I like that a lot.
It's good because you want a guy to go up there and be aggressive.
Yep.
He's got some history of walks in his career, but not as much this year. But he knows he's going to get pitches with the different guys in this lineup behind him, so he's going to go out there and go up swinging.
Well, he sees it, and the key is squaring up on it, you know, fouling it back or – you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he knows better. If the guy's throwing six straight balls, or he's walked two guys, he's not going to go up there hacking at the first pitch, you know, logically. But in those situations, hey, if he sees the spot, he's done a great job.
Yeah, no, it was really, really fun to watch last night. Earlier in the game, Justin Upton just smashes a single right off of Clayton Kershaw's hip.
Yes.
And, you know, luckily for him, you know, you don't ever want to see anybody get hurt, and he stayed in the game. But that was a hot shot right up the middle.
A hot shot, but, you know, once again, you think it had to be a glancing blow. I was actually, before we went on, I was watching Clayton Kershaw just get his arm loose out here playing catch with the other pitchers. Mm-hmm. Looked fine to me.
Yeah, he took it in the meat of the butt, I'd say.
It missed.
What was the worst comebacker that you ever took?
I think the worst comebacker was a line drive to a sinker ball up in Montreal. Guy had a line drive like 4 inches off the ground, hit me right in the top of the foot.
Oh.
Right on the top of the foot. Only time I ever got hit by a baseball in my career.
You were pretty lucky.
Oh, I was irritated, too. That hurt.
Yeah.
You know. And, of course, it ricocheted right to third base when he threw him out. But, hey, I was limping. I was pretty ticked off when I got back to the dugout.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. But we've seen so many scary comebackers the last few years, and even, you know, several years back with Chris Young here off of Albert Pujols. So every time you see one of those balls hit that hard right back up the middle, you always worry about it.
Well, my advantage is, you know, always pitching away, pitching to contact, ground balls. I anticipated the ball being hit back up the middle a lot when I pitched. So the ball really didn't usually surprise me as far as line drives and everything, and I was much aware of that. But that one 4 inches off the ground, man, I just couldn't get my glove down there fast enough. You know, really irritated me, too.
Everything irritated you, right?
Well, yeah, when my data pitch, yeah, a lot of stuff did. Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, again, these things I think about, I always want to ask you. So when you saw the play where Puig is running up first base and steps on Will Myers' foot there, did you see any wrong in that?
No.
Or did you think Will was a little too much on the bag? Well,
Will was a little too much on the bag. He'd be the first one to tell you, you know, get your foot out of there, you know. But I was proud of him, man. He didn't limp around and overreact. I was proud of him.
No, he's a gamer.
Yeah, he is.
He goes,
man, that hurt, but he ain't going to let anybody know it. That's what you do. There's a gamer right there.
Rub a little dirt on it. Yeah. And he literally rubs dirt on his hands every at bat if you ever watch him go up there.
That's right.
He goes up and rubs some dirt on his hands.
Doesn't use gloves.
No?
Yeah.
No, man. He's a little old school player there.
That's good.
A lot of fun. One thing I wanted to kind of get into was something that we haven't seen, and I'm guessing we're going to need to see. A big part of last night's game, Dale Thayer comes in because Joaquin Benoit and Brandon Mauer were not available. The bullpen has been a little overtaxed, and we're just not seeing the length out of the starting staff that you need to keep the bullpen fresh for situations like last night. And we've talked a lot about the fact that they're striking out a lot more guys than almost anybody in the league and more than this staff has in the past. What does this staff, and maybe it's different for each guy, but what do they need to do to get deeper into the games? Obviously, they have to pitch well enough to go deeper into the games. You can't give up several runs or you're going to get pulled. But how do they keep pitching well further into games to extend the bullpen and keep things like that from happening?
Well, at this point in time, you know, number one, you might expand the pitch count up to 110. 115, you know, with a five-man rotation. I don't see why you couldn't do that, Mikey. But, you know, overall, you've got to be more efficient. You got to be more efficient with your pitches. You know, pitchers have the idea of pitching more to contact in certain scenarios. Being able to, you know, find a way. If you get 0-2, put them away early. You don't have to go, you know, 2-2, 3-2. And we see a lot of that. And a lot of the guys, you don't – I think they try to get too cute in certain scenarios. And now all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're trying to make the perfect pitch. And it really doesn't have to be the perfect pitch. Maybe you do a little bit better setting up the pitch you want to get them out with. You know, maybe you got to, you know, straighten them up a little bit with a fastball in. You know, they can hit and then go back away. And all this, that little bit of hesitation, they're not going to be diving out to that outside part of the plate after that pitch. Little things like that you have to be able to do and execute. What you can't do is make mistakes.
And that's the fine line, right?
Yes.
Talk about pitching to contact, but you can't make that major mistake where you're going to get really hurt with that
contact.
Our
starters make way too many mistakes over the middle of the plate, and they'd admit it as well. I mean, they're not blind. You got to execute those pitches, inner third, outer third. You know, but so many times we watch it, and yeah, the pitch will be fouled back. Still, that pitch did not have any purpose in setting this guy up. Mm-hmm. It's another mistake, and that's what you can't do. I think Ian Kennedy gets 0-2 a lot. You know, he can't seem to find that pitch, and it'll cost him four or five other pitches before he can get that out.
You think there's something in a scouting report? Maybe he has too much of an MO, what he's going to do to a batter when he gets up 0-2, something like that. He's got to start changing some of his patterns a little bit, or is it just, you know, dumb luck?
I would just think you got to change some of your patterns. And also, I think you have to do that and be efficient, because it's one thing to get them out the first time up and the second time up. But if these guys are going to go deep in the game, you got to have a game plan how you're going to pitch them the third time up. Now, that's when a lot of guys get in trouble.
Right.
You know, and so you got to have a game plan in your repertoire of three pitches. You know how you're going to execute them and get them out three times, not two. That's where it gets difficult, and that's how you go deeper into ball games.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. All right, when we come back, let's get into tonight's ball game. And a very interesting lineup, very interesting defense, and I think you might have some opinions on this.
Okay.
To say the least.
To say the least.
All right. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after the break.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Baseball night in San Diego, always a good time. The kiddos out there playing some wiffle ball. Nothing better than a little wiffle ball before a big league game.
Yeah, you know what? Good idea. If I want to be on here, maybe I should give a little pitching tip every show or something. Blue, what do you think? A little something.
I like it.
Huh?
I like it.
Spit it out real quick.
That's a tease. That's a tease.
Oh, you're going to tease it?
Tease.
We might not get to it later. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah, I'll be on again.
That's true.
I'm saying down
this
the road
will not
here.
Be your last time let's, on the
let's,
couch.
Let's not peek here too soon.
Let's not. Don't ever want to peek too soon.
No, you don't.
No. Hey, man, what a lineup we got for this Padre ball club tonight, huh?
Well, you know, when you got a guy that, you know, since he joined the Dodgers in 2013, he's 22-2 in the Western Division.
And this a lot of pitching. That success against this team.
Yeah, and I think the batting average in those 24 games is like .212, the opposing batting average. So you got your hands full with Zach Greinke on the mound.
So right-handed Zach Greinke, you want to get as many left-handed bats into the lineup. So, Blooper, let's see that lineup presented by United Airlines. United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United Flight, the friendly skies.
Now, everybody that's looking at the lineup right now, you can see familiar names. But
Myers, Venable, Upton, Kemp, Alonso. Wait, what? Well, Yonder Alonso
look
is
at the
playing
positions.
Third
yes.
base tonight.
Interesting.
And how do you feel about this, Randy Johnson?
Well,
he's played there a little bit in the major leagues in spot positions.
Can I be candid?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm certainly glad I'm not on the mound tonight. I mean, I'm sorry, but I just don't want – I don't need a new third baseman, when I'm on the mound. And I'm sure he'll do fine, but, remember, I'm a sinker ball pitcher. That scared me to death.
That makes a lot of sense, I understand that.
All he's got to do is he's got to convince me.
At the same time, the Padres don't score a lot of runs against Greinke.
No.
And if you don't score a single run, you don't have a chance to win. Always the balance,
and back in the 70s, I saw a few crazy lineups when I was pitching sometimes that John McNamara put together. And I kind of look at him and go, are we trying? What are you doing to me? And everything would turn out fine. But, and we'd laugh about it a little bit. But what he was trying to do is you could try to get those bats in. Yonder needs to be in the lineup every day.
Has to be in the lineup.
He has to be.
Especially against a tough right-hander.
Oh, if he's hitting .360, nobody's swinging the bat better on this team. You got to find a position for him.
And not only that. It's funny, sometimes you talk about a position move and it's like the guy wasn't playing that well at his position. Definitely not the case here. Yonder is a good defensive first baseman.
Well, and that the one thing, both corners, and that was the same way. Gene Tennis was the same way. He was a catcher, played a lot of first base, but also I saw him at third base, was very comfortable there. It's a natural transition, to play the corners. Different perspective, but as far as feeling your position, prototypically, those guys are very comfortable, playing the edges.
So, obviously, Buddy had a lot to say about Yonder playing third today. And really, he said he feels good about it. Good hands. Feels good about his arm. He can throw the ball all over the diamond.
I'm not worried about that.
But in reality, this was more about getting Will Venable's bat into the lineup.
Yes.
And so, another left-handed bat who's been swinging the bat well, who changes the dynamic of your defense in the outfield. So, really, this is about keeping Will Myers, Yonder Alonso, and Will Venable in the lineup. So, in that sense, you understand where they're coming from.
Oh,
right?
I understand that completely. Why he's there. Don't get me wrong. Basically, all I was saying is being a sinker ball pitcher, I don't need a brand new third baseman role. That's going to scare me to death. I'm just, telling you the truth. But as far as the offensive side of the baseball, I love the lineup. I like what he's trying to do.
Ian Kennedy, a fly ball pitcher, right?
Yes.
So, not quite as detrimental if, say, Andrew Cashner was on the mound trying to throw his sinker.
So exactly.
This is probably the time to try it. And, hey, when you're going up against a guy like Greinke, much like you were last night with Kershaw, you got to do whatever you can to score runs.
You got to get runs.
You really do, or it's all pointless. So
I see what Buddy's trying to do, and, you know, and especially get the left-handed bats in there against Greinke, because the right-hander's really, you know, he dominates right-handed hitters.
How quick do you think it takes for a ball to find Yonder at third?
First inning.
Oh, yeah. Always, right?
Come on. You know it's going to happen.
You know he wants it. He wants to get it out of the way.
You want to get it out of the way. You really do. I mean, hey, if I was pitching, I might throw a right-hander sinker ball down on it just so he'd pull it down the line.
There you go.
To get him going. I mean, seriously. You know,
get him in the game early. Don't even think about it.
That's right. And all of a sudden, there's no more jitters. He got that first one out of the way. The adrenaline starts calming down. That would help Yonder a lot.
So we've seen a lot of ups and downs for Ian Kennedy recently. Do you know when he's got it and when he doesn't early in a game? And usually when he's had troubles, it's happened early in the game.
It happens early in the game. If he can get through that, then he levels out and gets in a groove and pitches very effectively. And in early, you can pretty much tell, you know. And it's not really one pitch. It's just about location. You know, is he feeling it? You know, you look at the delivery and, you know, is that release point, you know, out in front where it's supposed to be and everything. You know, you can kind of read that. And the one thing is, it's hard for him sometimes to make adjustments early in the game, you know. But I think right now what he's got a little mechanic, fundamental thought that's letting him finish out in front a little bit better, in my opinion, whatever that might be. And his last two times out, I think he's done a better job not making mistakes over the middle of the plate like we saw earlier.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Darren Balsley's talked about that. Sometimes it's just one single word
that
he can say to a pitcher, and it clicks into whatever, you know. You know, get on top of it, or arm slot, or I'm making things up here.
But I mean, it can be that simple. One little thing that you go out there, and as long as you stay, you know, think about that and do it consistently, everything else falls into place.
So, talking about Greinke, he's been so hard on the Padres, and he's been so hard on a lot of teams. This guy's been a good pitcher for a long time.
Yes.
What makes him so tough? What are you looking for out of him that just makes him
tough? Well, number one, the first thing is the control, command of the strike zone. And I'm talking about the edges, you know, knee high. But it has that – he can throw that like a little cutter, 88 miles an hour, 87 miles an hour, away from the 92-mile-an-hour fastball. He'll change speeds on that a little bit, might elevate a little bit, but it's just enough – you know, he'll change those speeds just enough that you're just off kilter just a little bit. You know, but, you know, the one thing, his command down in the strike zone is what really makes him effective up. And that's what you see.
Sense.
And when you have command down in the strike zone like that, you can get away with other pitches. And like that third time up, I talked about going deeper into a ball game. How many times I've seen him get a fly ball or a little weak ground ball and an 87, 88 mile an hour cut, you know, cut fastball, maybe away from a right-hander because they haven't seen it before. And that's the amazing thing. And he really has a knack of doing that.
He really does. And three starts against the Padres already this year.
Yes.
Over 20 innings. He's only given up two earned runs, 16 Ks, only 12 hits. He's just been lights out against this team.
He was very effective down here against the Padres his last start here. And
it's just interesting. There's just so much of a ruckus going on
out here during batting
practice.
There's a lot of BP balls.
Oh, my God.
They must be
dropping them out here in left field, left and right, because it is loud. There you go. You can see the Dodgers taping BP. Get them all out of your system now, boys, because they're not coming during the game. Ian's going to shut him down, I think. But no, it's going to be fun. It's always fun, just like when Will Middlebrooks started at shortstop for the first time. Now that was on the road, but it's always going to be fun to see Yonder out there at third base. Fun for him, I'm guessing. You know, I mean, the baseball season's long to go out there. One out of 162, and who knows? This could be something you see more, but he said.
You got to see what it looks like.
And
find the winning formula. You're trying to get all these bats, the right guys, into the everyday lineup on the offensive side of the baseball. So if you're going to do that, you got to get a little creative on the defensive side when you do that.
Yep,
and that's what we're doing.
You really do. All right. Hopefully get some of your questions in the next segment on Twitter, hashtag PadresSH. Get to that shortly. Blah, 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 blah. Right?
Like it.
Sometimes. All right. Do you know an All-Star Mom, Arm & Hammer, and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one All-Star Mom and center and her family to the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati? Go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. My mom is here. Hi, Mother. She's an All-Star Mom, if I do say so.
Nice job, man.
All right. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Just about 45 minutes till Dodgers Padres. Checking in on Twitter, and Joe Butler agrees with you, Randy. What Randy said about Alonso at third tonight is right on. And hey, who knows? We'll see what happens. But
I'm just stating the facts, man. You know, once he settles down in there, does a good job, we all feel better about it.
Right. You never know what's going to happen.
But when you're a sinker ball pitcher, anytime you get a new guy in a new position in the infield, you get nervous.
You really do.
And if you don't, you're lying.
Then Jake, at Jake Ryan 760, who his he goes by Randy Jones Boots, so he's tweeting for your boots.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he calls himself there. Wants to know, what is your participation with the current pitching staff?
You know, the unique thing, Mike, what I did is, you know, I get to spend 3 weeks and 3.5 weeks of spring training with the guys when they're getting ready for the season, getting to know them a little bit and their tendencies and watching them. But maybe the mental approach to the game and the mental process of what they're doing, I'll talk to him more about that. But Darren Balsley, as it comes to fundamentals and what you're doing on the mound mechanically, that's Darren Balsley's thing. And he communicates with them really, really well. But as far as the mental approach and things, if I see something, I'm not afraid to go down to the clubhouse and talk to them. You know, keep it positive. But if I see something, you know, that I think they can get better at, I'll mention it to them.
Almost more like a mentoring, right?
Yeah, kind of like
you've been
that.
There, you've done that, you've kind of seen it all.
Exactly.
You can provide some perspective.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if, you know, if you're James Shields, you're 7-0, if you're Andrew Kastner, you're 2-9. You know, unfortunately, I've been on both sides of the scenario in my career. So, you know, I can kind of relate to a lot of the guys.
Yeah. No, that's good stuff.
That's what
and a very valuable asset to this organization.
Well, I enjoy it just to make sure that they're the right frame of mind. Sometimes you get a little defensive. You lose a little bit of that confidence, and it's a sensitive thing for a starting pitcher, and I can understand that. So every once in a while, somebody needs a friendly reminder to stay a little more positive, stay aggressive. You don't get defensive out there. Don't wait for things to happen. You got to make them happen on the mound, and that's the approach you got to have with every pitch.
I like that. Every once in a while, you pick me up, and I need it.
There you go.
All right?
I like that.
Hey, let's get to the head-to-head challenge presented by Supercuts, and this might be the toughest decision we've had all year. So yesterday, Blooper versus Kurt, who was on the couch.
Right.
Kurt, out of nowhere, picks Clint Barmas against Clayton Kershaw. Now, Blooper has Derek Norris, and at first thought, last night, ran into Blooper. He's very excited about his pick, and I said, yeah, you probably won. But then, you know, I talked to Jesse, you know, and this is Jesse's show. I mean, let's be honest. And we really thought about it, and
– And?
Jesse picked Clint Barmas, and his pick to stick. So I think we're going to go with Clint Barmas in the couch here.
Oh, yeah, let's take that, Blooper. That's
so,
right. That's
I mean,
who it
look,
should be.
Two hits off of Clayton Kershaw, one of which was a home run. And, I mean, if we'd ended up winning the game, I think Derek Norris's home run probably holds up.
That's a big if.
Plus, he had and don't get me wrong. Derek Norris had a fantastic game.
I understand that.
But, I mean, Clint Barmas, I mean, to do what he did against Clayton Kershaw.
Phenomenal.
To play a really good shortstop, I think. We got to go with the couch here. Blooper, do you have the standings?
No, last night you told me I won, so I updated the standings with me winning.
Then don't put them up.
Wow.
You lost.
They're now incorrect.
You lost.
You lied to me.
You said I lied? Lied.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Wow, that's a strong word, Blooper.
That's what happened.
Oh.
Hey, I just reconsidered, and we examined all the facts in the case.
I agree with you 100%.
And, I mean, hey. And, hey, Blooper, I've heard you say many times, this is your show.
You know what? Let him.
And who came on your show today?
Clint Barmas.
Ooh.
Oh!
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. That was kind of the determining
Where's
factor.
The love here?
And he's such a good dude. Not that Derek Norris isn't a good guy, but second appearance, by the way, which you mentioned to me, the first player to come on twice, that deserves a point for the couch.
And also, you know, I think what we should do is, why don't you pick first tonight? How's that?
Nope, it's your pick.
No.
It's my pick?
Yeah, it is.
No, this is like golf. He conceded to you, so you actually have to pick first or it would be rude. Please don't be rude. So, you ready to pick your player, Bloop?
Maybe. I'm going Yonder Alonso.
Oh, he's taking the guy at the new position. So,
my
usually
goodness.
These things go either really well or really badly.
I'm saying really well.
All right. Bloop's on the record. Randy,
okay,
you cannot choose Yonder Alonso. Anybody else is fair game.
I'm going with Justin Upton.
All right.
It's time.
It's time
for him to break out, square up. Yeah, I know he got Kershaw off the hip, but, you know, I think it's time for him to break
out. It's pretty amazing how consistent he's been this year.
He really has.
He actually kind of has been scuffling for him. for anybody else, you'd be like, oh, he's just kind of doing – he's hitting pretty well. We have such high expectations of him now that he's not – he hasn't hit a home run in, you know, a handful of games.
I think he's going to get a pitch tonight. There's going to be a mistake made, and he's going to square up on it.
Well, that would be very fortuitous for the San Diego Padres if that happened. All right, I'm looking forward to tonight's challenge. And, hey, I want to be an impartial, fair judge, and I feel like I was that today.
No, he's shaking his head like a
– no.
No. Jeez.
At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Blooper, you look like you need a Supercut. Getting a little scraggly there, my friend. So looking at Greinke, Kennedy tonight, it's going to be a fun matchup.
It is.
And I don't know, what would your approach be against Greinke, considering how much success – or lack of success, I should say, this team has had. What do you go up there looking for?
You know, I don't think you got to get aggressive early. Zach Greinke's not like a Clayton Kershaw where you don't really want to get 0-2 where you got to start looking for that, you know, curveball, that yellow hammer, and that type of thing. He execute pitches really well, but you got to be careful. And what I really like is a little bit more patience, maybe with Greinke. Give him an opportunity to maybe make a mistake with you. He'll go to that fastball, but he'll two-seam it, four-seam it, move it around, you know. But I think that's the one thing you got to be patient with him, and you're going to get a pitch.
All right.
And that's really the key to it. But a lot of times, you know, you see him, you know, swinging early. I don't think you have to do that with Zach Greinke.
Yeah, no.
Get that pitch
count
up.
I like
up
that
a
approach.
Bit.
That makes a lot
pitch
of sense.
Pitch count up a little bit, and you all of a sudden you might have him out of there in the sixth, and you got an opportunity.
Makes a lot of sense. The next baseball night in San Diego is Saturday, June 27th, where every fan in attendance will receive a Padres beach towel presented by National University. Get your tickets to see the Padres take on the Diamondbacks that night at Padres.com. One final segment of the show coming up right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Final segment of the show from the AMR studios. Getting to some of your Twitter comments and questions here. Our buddy Ghost of Ray Kroc, he just tweets in, hashtag blame Gracie. I don't even know what that means. Ghost, you'll have to explain yourself later. What are you blaming me for? If things go poorly tonight?
No, I blame you for changing the ruling from Derek Norris to Clint Barmas.
But what is
did
the
you
blame?
Tell him before, or did you wait till the show? Seth, that's when you heard, right? Right here.
Last See? Night I went home
that's
thinking I was
why.
A winner.
Blame Blooper. Blame Blooper. Always, all right?
Always.
Don't blame me. Come
it's
on.
It's a show, like you said.
Ian, very fascinated with you on Twitter, Randy. First off, Randy, how are you?
Good. I'm excellent.
You're good? Then secondly, he asked, Randy, looking good. Exclamation point there. What do you do to stay in such good shape?
Stay busy.
Yeah?
You know.
Out in the barn?
Yeah, out in the barn. You know, all you got to do is get a new bird dog. Get a little Brittany Spaniel pup that needs to be trained.
Oh.
You know, and that's 3 miles every morning, you know, of training and walking and teaching them all the disciplines. And, you know, and I've been doing it myself, and it keeps you busy.
That makes me happy, you out with the dog.
I love it.
It really does.
I absolutely love it. He won't be long, and he'll be here. He's 2 weeks away from being obedient enough for me to bring him out.
I'm going to bring my dog, who is not obedient. It's just going to ruin your dog. It's going to
be
awesome.
One great show, buddy.
I want to get to a quick AMR injury report because I think this will touch your heart a little bit. Corey Lupke is getting on the mound tonight in a professional baseball game. He's going to start the game in Lake Elsinore. He's going to throw the first inning, 20 pitches, two Tommy Johns. Really, really cool to see him getting back.
And I talked to Corey yesterday in a little bit, and he was really excited about the opportunity to get this going. He's waited a long time, you know, and he knows, and it's all of the pitchers know. I mean, you can do all you want, all the bullpens you want, but you got to kind of get into a game, get the adrenaline flowing to really, you know, find out what your arm really feels like. So I'm really excited for Corey Lupke.
Yeah, long road ahead for him still, but, man, just good to see for a good guy.
No kidding.
Yeah,
all
right.
A lot of work.
That's the AMR Injury Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit AMRSanDiego.com. One other news of note here. Technically, the Padres finished a trade today. We acquired a player to complete the Alex Torres trade, receiving left-handed pitcher Brad Week, I don't know how to say his last name, also a 2014 draft pick. So very similar to Trey Turner, who will be leaving the organization tomorrow, most likely, assuming all media reports are correct. This gentleman's coming to the Padres organization to finish the Alex Torres trade. Hey, another left-hander
in
the system.
It's always nice to get another left-hander in the system.
You can never have enough left-handers, right?
Never. I'm glad to hear that.
Starting pitcher, actually some pretty good minor league numbers, a college pitcher. So, hey, some more value. They got Corey Mazzoni earlier, and now they're finishing.
Look forward to seeing him. I know we drafted four or five left-handers in this draft.
Yeah.
So I was excited about that.
23 minus 18, five left-handers.
There you go.
All right. Hey, catch Kurt Bavakwa tonight on Padres Social Hour post-game edition. He's got Heath Bell. Tomorrow, Annie and Bill with you at 11:30. Padres, Dodgers, next.